Good to see Kel and Mim, Esther. Hi, Mr. Inspirationals, Mr. and Mrs. Inspirational. Catch up later. How many times have you heard the words, "Are you listening?" I hear it quite often. Has someone been speaking to you and like you're in their presence, but you're not present? I'm guilty of that as well. I'm in the location, but I'm not really tuned in. Linda and I often have this discussion, and I ask a question and she says, "Well, I told you that last week. Weren't you listening?" And I say, "You just can't say stuff and expect me to hear." It's true. I might be watching television or something and she's talking to me. You can't just say stuff and expect that I'll hear it. For a couple of reasons. I'm often having a conversation in my own head. So I'm talking to myself and it'd be rude to interrupt. You can't have two conversations at the same time. So she's talking and I'm having a great conversation, quite intelligent conversation actually. And she wants to talk about putting blinds up or something like that. So I hear it quite often. Are you listening? Today I'm going to tell you something that is astounding. It is truly astounding that this could happen. And I want to make sure that I have your attention. I want to make sure that you're listening. Because you can be here, you can be present, but you may not be present with me listening. Now, this is the statement. Last week, this is what I read. And I'm not sure whether you heard it, and I'm going to read it again. Last week, an unknown man knocked on Eli the priest's door. He delivered a message from God. That's a scary thought. If you're really listening to that, that's a scary thought. That's astounding. Number one, Eli's the priest. He should have been hearing from God. It was his job to hear from God. And he was in a position where he didn't even hear what God was saying. Someone, an unknown man, knocked on his door and said, "Mate, you're not doing what God's asked you to do. You're not walking in the will of God." That's a scary thought. It is for me, especially in my position. Someone could come up to me and say, "God is saying this." It'd be quite alarming because you'd think God would be speaking to me. And I don't know if that's true of you. That you can be in God's presence but not be present with God. It can happen this morning. That the Spirit of God is here, you're in his presence, but you're not listening to what he's actually saying. It's a scary thought that God could be speaking to us and is speaking to us, but we're not hearing it. For Eli, God's patience had run out. And at this point, when this guy turned up, a prophet, God's delivery system changed. He'd moved from the priests to the prophets. This is a massive shift as we work through our Bible. We start seeing that the priests aren't playing as big a role, that Levites and all of the guys serving in the tabernacle. God said, "You know, you guys aren't listening. So I'm going to speak to those people who actually are listening." And he started using guys called prophets, and he spoke to the prophets. He said to Eli last week, chapter 2, verse 30, "I promised that your branch, the tribe of Eli, would always be my priests, but I will honour those who honour me." This has been a shift. "And I will despise those who think lightly of me." And the priesthood, for the priests, just had become a duty. It had become a religion. And they were just doing what they had always done, slaughter the sheep, put them on the thing, do their sacrifices. But they missed the whole purpose of that. They missed their heart. Their heart wasn't in it. There was no love for God. God wants relationship, not religion. Still does, always will. And so that's really the background of today's passage where, again, the Lord delivers a message to Eli, the priest, but this time through a child. Did you hear that? That's astounding. That children can speak. They can hear God's word, and often we don't. Eli the priest had a child tell him a message from God. Are you listening? So the scene for this chapter, it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to open your books. It's a little confusing. I say that because, well, I'm not sure where this takes place. And I don't have time to go into all the details for why I think that. But as I was reading through it, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I was trying to figure out, since when did the tabernacle have a bed and a bedroom in it? I'm trying to figure out where that would take place. So I looked up the commentaries, and as usual, commentaries are no help because one guy has an opinion and this guy has a different opinion, and you end up going, oh, I've got no idea who's right and who's wrong. And so this is what I took out of it, that my Bible uses the word tabernacle. Some Bibles use house of the Lord. I'm not sure what you've got. And there seems to be some confusion about where this is actually taking place. Is it a tabernacle or is it some sort of temporary structure? Because bear in mind, the temple actually hasn't been built by Solomon yet. This is pre-Solomon. And the tabernacle is this huge big tent with very holy of holies sort of place, with the most holy place and then the holy of holies and the outer court and all these different aspects to it. And first verse talks about Samuel laying next to the Ark of God in the Holy of Holies. Is that possible? Or was he in the most holy place where there's lots of stuff going on in there as well? So I'm not sure. And I'm not sure it really matters that much, because the point of this whole passage is maybe it's not where this takes place, it's more what's happening there. Is God present in that place? Maybe that's the point, that God speaks to those who are in his presence, not whether it's just in the tabernacle or whether it's in the temple or whether it's in the bush. If you're in God's presence, which is where Samuel was, God speaks. So this is the first verse. Meanwhile, the boy, Samuel, served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, the messages of the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. So in what days are they talking about? In those days. In what days? What's the era happening? This is, we just finished Judges, so we know that in those days, the judges, you guys have an opportunity here to make my day. I'll start a sentence and see if we can finish it. Sorry? In Shiloh. That's where this is taking place. Yeah, well done. Good boy. Yeah. In those days, everyone was, do you remember the judges? Everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. And so, of course, the word of God, the word of the Lord, is going to be rare because no one was listening. It doesn't mean God wasn't speaking, by the way. Just that we weren't listening. The man of God, whoever he was, he heard what God was trying to say. He turned up to Eli. He was getting a vision from God. So was Samuel. He was hearing from God. But the word of the Lord was rare in those days because people, especially in the judges, they weren't listening. And verse 2, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. I'm not sure what Samuel was doing sleeping near the Ark of God. Maybe as a little apprentice type person, he was maintaining the lamp of God, keeping the wick trimmed and making sure that it didn't go out. Some reference to that there. But it seems strange that you'd be sleeping near the Ark of God. We're going to explore some more about this Ark of God and the meaning of the Ark. But whatever Samuel was doing there, it's a pretty risky place to sleep, you would think. And some of the stories we heard earlier on in the Leviticus, you know, the priests went into the Holy of Holies with fear and trepidation. Wherever the Ark of God was, that represented God's presence. That was the point of the Ark. It was a representation of God's in the house. If the Ark was there, God's in the house. That was basically the point of the Ark. It was built, remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and had 10 commandments, and God said, we need somewhere to put these, so build a box. And it was a pretty elaborate box, gold-plated, made of acacia wood and cherubim on the top, indicating God's presence, the atonement cover. I'm not going to go into the whole box. It has lots of different meaning. It'll come up later on. But the point was that the word of the Lord, it contained the word of the Lord. And then there were some other things added to it a bit later on as well. The manna. Remember the manna? Does anyone remember what else was in there? There was the commandments. A staff? Yeah, Aaron's staff. Yeah. So there were a few things in this box. Meaningful things that actually meant something to Israel, told their story. And this represented God's presence. Wherever the ark went, you know, taken into battle, it wasn't just stuck in the tabernacle as a holy religious sort of icon. It's actually like the early days in the Crusades. They took the big cross and they walked into battle and they said, God's with us. This was the Ark of the Covenant. And so Genesis chapter 25 says, I will meet you there at this box, at this ark. I will meet you there and talk to you from above the atonement cover, between the gold cherubim and that hover over the Ark of the Covenant. From there I'll give you my commands for the people of Israel. That's where God is going to meet. That's where he's going to catch up with people. He was going to meet people there and talk with them. And Samuel was sleeping near this ark where God was. And suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. That shouldn't have been a surprise. It says it was suddenly, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. It should have been the norm, because that's where God was. And that's where he wanted to speak with people, at this place. Eli should have said to Samuel, now, this is where you're going to sleep. And in the middle of the night, if you hear someone talking, don't worry. It's just God. He's probably got a message. Just wake up and say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm ready to hear. Because it happens all the time. That's what he should have said. Eli had no idea what was going on. Either did Samuel. What was this voice? And this is interesting. Samuel had no idea what was going on. And so he said, what is it? But he wasn't speaking to the Lord. He was speaking to Eli. Are you still listening? He was actually speaking to Eli about this. Did God's voice sound like Eli's voice? That's strange. You'd think God's voice sounded like God, whatever God sounds like. This is what we need to hear, because God is speaking through the voice of an old man. Well, at least Samuel thinks he is. he hears this voice, and it's this old man who's almost blind, and he's crying out from another room because they're not sleeping in the same room. He's not in the presence of the Lord, Eli. He's outside somewhere else. Samuel gets up and he goes, "What is it? I'm listening." He's like, "I'm not calling you." Eli was hearing this guy three times. He got up and went into Eli and said, "What is it, man? You're going mad as well." I think that's interesting. God's voice. It didn't sound like thunder. This is, remember the story coming up. It's a bit hard to remember something coming up. I understand that. But the story of Elijah in this cave, God's presence went past. And his voice didn't sound like thunder. It wasn't this big booming whoosh, you know, "Samuel," scared the poor little kid out of his wits. It wasn't, Elijah said, it wasn't the sound of thunder. It wasn't the sound of driving rain or rushing wind. It wasn't the sound of an earthquake or raging fire. It sounded like a gentle whisper. And the gentle whisper, he covered his face. He couldn't stand it. God's whisper. What does that tell you about this, the nature of God and the way he speaks? It tells me that God is a God who wants to speak to us. Doesn't want to have to raise his voice. He doesn't want to have to shout and rant and rave and scream and try to get our attention. He's not trying to get our attention. He just wants to speak to us. And the question is, are we listening? Sometimes people will say, "Oh, I don't hear you. I think God's silent, doesn't speak anymore. God's silent." I've been told that in the past, that, you know, God doesn't speak to us anymore. I'm not sure that's true. I'm starting to wonder whether it's not that God doesn't speak. I think maybe it's more the fact that we're not listening. Or worse than that, what could be worse than not listening? What would be worse than that is hearing it and ignoring it. I'm often guilty of that as well. Just pretend I didn't hear. Are we ignoring the word of God? We're hearing it. This is what the psalmist says. This is why Israel lost their opportunity to move into the promised land. This one reason. God was speaking and they were ignoring. They heard it, but they ignored it. Psalm 95. "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you only hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation, and I said that they are the people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." And I find that hard to believe, that people would hear the voice of God and yet ignore it, that they would harden their hearts against it, that God is speaking to his people who he just rescued, and they would be like, "No, I don't care." Just fascinating to me that someone would do that. And yet, I'm guilty of it as well. When God is speaking, I harden my heart against it. When God is good and he's trying to do what's best, we actually harden our hearts against God. This is why the writer of the Hebrews, he's picking up what the psalmist is laying down, to use a young people's terminology. Never mind. I'm trying to be relevant, Emma. Trying to be cool, it's just not working. The psalmist was talking about this, and so the writer of the Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the times of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That was why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they've not known my ways. So I declared in an oath, in my anger, they will never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobey? So we see that they were not able to enter his rest because of their unbelief. This author, the guy or the girl who wrote Hebrews, seems to be saying, God is actually speaking to us. And the reason that we're not hearing it is that they've been deceived by sin. Sin seems to block our ears to God's voice. Sin hardens our hearts, and so then we can't hear. And if we hear, we actually rebel against the message. No, it's not for me. I don't want to do it. Sin is to blame for our hard hearts and our deaf ears. So you can't blame God for not speaking. God's speaking. That's what God does. He speaks. His message is, I love you. Why wouldn't you want to hear that? People say to me all the time, if I hear God speak, then I'll believe. And I say, God is speaking. But you're not listening. God may be whispering, but he's speaking. He may be speaking through a man of God type person, someone you don't know. That happened here. Maybe you're like a mentor type person. God actually can speak through people. It may be through a child. That happened here. God was speaking. God speaks through his word, the written word. He still speaks through his word. He's given us his Holy Spirit who speaks. And maybe late at night when we're trying to sleep, but maybe that's the only time we're still enough to actually stop and listen. But we're like, even at night, in our heads, we're thinking about what's going on the next day. We're thinking about all the worries and the concerns we've got, and we, even our minds don't stop. But God is still trying to speak. Maybe he's speaking through the hand of God. It says, the psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. God is speaking. Hasn't stopped speaking right from the very beginning. He wants a relationship with us. And the question is, are we listening? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. This is an interesting verse. Run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body, so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and not listening and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. I was going to watch a clip today of the finding the Ark of the Covenant, and It's I watched a bit of it, and I remember why I didn't choose it, because it's quite graphic. People's heads are exploding and all sorts of things. Remember, their face melts off. Yeah, I didn't think. I didn't think Elaine would be watching it, but anyway, we could have watched it. She's not here. But the Ark of the Covenant is actually with us. We don't have to look too far. It's actually in us. The presence of God is in us. That's what we just read. And Revelation actually says that the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven, waiting for Jesus to be revealed. That's probably why they can't find it. I didn't add that in, but it's in Revelation chapter 11 or somewhere, 9, somewhere. Waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Ark of the Covenant's there. Okay, so the Spirit, the Lord, is within you. God is within you. Like, he's not some bum looking for a place to hang out. He wants to, you know, he's not a homeless person looking for a place to dwell. He's actually there wanting a relationship with us. So of course he's going to be speaking to us. Are we expecting the Lord to speak? Or like Eli, it doesn't happen anymore. That's what we've come to. Maybe like Eli and the rest of the judges, it's God doesn't do it. But if you're like Samuel and you're laying there and you're listening and you actually believe that the Lord will speak to you, then you start tuning into what God might be saying. So cleanse your heart, because God can only speak to us if our hearts aren't hard, caused by sin. That's why we need to keep coming to church. This reminder we do weekly is just such a vital thing. It's not just a religious thing that we do. It's cleansing our hearts, reminding ourselves. This relationship with God is only possible through what Jesus has done. It's not our good works. It's the relationship that makes it possible to hear from God. We need to constantly be brought back to this. Thanks for the reminder, Paul. That was good. And God is actually speaking, and it's gentle. So when you hear his voice, it might be a thought, like Paul said, I couldn't get this thought out of my mind. It could be a thought. Say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And believe it's the Lord speaking. Because then, you know, Satan, he doesn't want us to hear God's voice. He's going to come in with fear and with doubt and with, oh, that can't be right. Faith is believing what we're hearing. So if God's speaking to you, believe it in your heart that it's true. Don't let Satan, whose job is to rob you and deceive you, steal from you. They're the things that he's trying to steal. The voice of God speaking to you. God is speaking. Are you Eli or Samuel? Now let's be present in the Lord's presence. Be present with the Lord. And desire to be near the heart of God. That's got to be a desire of your heart. And you will hear God speak to you. Father, we just we know that you're a loving God. It's right through Scripture that you love us so much. What you did for us, your desire to be with people, to draw people close to yourself, is right through Scripture. And yet we tend to think that you don't speak to us anymore. Even though you've promised your Holy Spirit, even though you've given us your Son to build a bridge over this thing called sin that separated us from you, we can have a relationship with you. The temple of the tabernacle has been torn, and we can have access to the Ark of the Covenant, to your very presence. So, Father, we just pray, we ask, that you would actually give us ears to hear what you are saying to us, that you'll give us hearts that are soft, not hard, that you give us hearts and lives that are obedient to you, so that you can speak to us and lead us and guide us and even may use us to speak to others. We know that you're speaking to us. You're declaring your praise and your glory through all sorts of avenues. We pray that you'll just help us to be attentive to whichever vehicle that you try and use. It might be a child, and it might be an old man or an old woman. It might be some random person. It might be your word. Lord, help us to be attentive to what you're saying to us and then put those things into practice. We thank you for your word to us today, and we cherish it in our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.